Welcome to Film Wax Radio, the independent film talk show. Every week, we're visited by filmmakers, programmers, journalists, actors, and others to sit down and chat about the state of independent film. We're speaking with Don Cato, half of the directorial team behind the Queens World Film Festival.
Correct. I'm also the programmer.
And the programmer. And where did you grow up, Don?
I was born in Dunkirk, New York, and grew up in Fredonia, right next to it. It's upstate New York off of Lake Erie.
The Great Lake Erie.
Great Lakes, yes. We were in the Great Lake Basin, and we were the buckle on the Great Belt. Uh-huh. If you go along the lake shore there, there's acres and acres of grapes, all of which, most of belong to Welch's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that true? Yeah, is that considered a microclimate?
Yes, it is. And it's also good for peach growing, which is what I grew up on, was a small fruit farm. Grapes, peaches, and apples, etc.
Huh. Mm-hmm. The missing from this today's interview is Katha, your wife.
Yes.
Of many years, correct?
Correct.
How long have you guys been married?
23.
That is many.
That's many.
You were married before.
I was married before.
And you had a kid?
Or two.
Two kids? Okay. But I only bring it up because, I mean, you two don't have any, right?
We have no biological children between us. Yes,
I see. Okay.
That we know of.
Yeah. If Katha were here, I could only...
The energy alone.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it was you who very lovely said that in the opening review of MOMI a year ago, they over-caffeinated. And I would like to say that that's really, unfortunately, not the truth. It's just the way she is.
Yeah. In fact, you know, if you gave her caffeine, it might actually make her crash.
She tends to slow a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not much.
Where did you guys meet 23, or no, it was probably more than 23 years ago, but where did you guys meet all these years ago?
All those years ago, one day in the middle of the afternoon, a friend of mine and I, about 1982, were going off to have a beer in Eugene, Oregon, where I was at the University of Oregon studying. You know, at the time, I wasn't studying. I was out of graduate school. And we were passing through this little atrium area in Eugene. Of course, you know, it's kind of very alternative lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was immediately hustled by this young woman trying to get me to go to her improvisational show.
Mm-hmm.
It was Katha.
She has an acting. You both have an acting background.
Well, my background is landscape architecture, which has nothing to do with acting. But anyway, she was out hustling me.
Uh-huh.
And of course, we took the flyer, but didn't go to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years later, my casting director at the time, also by the name of Katherine, was helping me put together my first feature film and suggested this woman, Katha, was perfect for the role. And that's when I met her the second time, quite by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave her the screenplay, and of course, in Eugene, Oregon, her response to me was, "Yeah, sure, he's going to make a movie in Eugene, Oregon, right?" But I'll read it anyway. And she was leaving for New York City the next day, so she read it, came to the house, and I said she was perfect. She said, "You want me to read?" And I said, "No, you're perfect." And that was it. And I didn't see her again until I financed the movie and started shooting in 1986.
And that movie.
It was called Dixie Lanes, and she had the co-lead, female lead.
Mm-hmm. In 86. And then you ostensibly had a life of creativity over the next, 20 years or so?
Oh, yeah. The next 20 years here was a combination of raising the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Both children came to live with me.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Not too long after we were married in 89.
Mm-hmm. Surprise.
Yeah, surprise. So we immediately inherited the two wonderful teenage girls.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't that be fun? Yes, it was.
You, Katha, and two teenage girls, the hormones alone.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was just amazing.
Pure heaven.
And for several years there, so I was... Again, trying to get another film off the ground and decided, well, we have to change this. So I had to find regular work for a while and put off doing anything until about 1996, 97, just getting those girls through high school and into college, taken care of. If I may backtrack a little.
Do.
While in Oregon, I probably made 40 or 50 short films, various kinds. TV commercials, a number of art films.
Uh-huh.
And that 1974 is when I made Pipeline Patrol, which was an animated film, stop motion, which went to Cannes and won a silver medal.
Wow.
I even brought it with me.
He did. Wait a minute.
So there was that. And then a number of documentaries. Mm-hmm. 1978, I was one of the few Westerners allowed into China to kind of roam around and shoot whatever I wanted to, and to interview people at a commune. So that was kind of an interesting experience.
Yeah, no, there weren't a lot of documentaries in features being...
No, there was one...
Launched into, you know, anywhere theatrically, maybe one or two a year. I mean, really, it was so few back then.
Yes.
So, I mean, the idea of getting something like that, you know, seen by any large numbers was a daunting sort of, I would imagine, sort of a daunting thing.
It was daunting, and it was a great experience. I also was one of, I think, a very small handful of people allowed up the Shanghai Tower to take a 360-degree picture of Shanghai. And I remember they told me, you have 1 minute.
Right. So you just took out your digital camera.
Digital in 1978, yes. Super 8 sound was what we took.
Wow.
So it was quite an experience.
To get back into New York,
yes.
You've raised the girls now. You have an opportunity to kind of re-engage and follow some of your passions again in a more liberated way.
Absolutely.
Is that kind of what you were experiencing?
Well, that's what we were experiencing. I had written a couple of pieces that we almost got off the ground twice and realized that trying to go that route was... it was just very time-consuming, and it was just a money pit.
Sure.
And Joey jumped into a piece called Be My Oswald, which
I've seen it.
Yeah, self-financed. And we started that in 1998, literally the month we dropped Jessica off to college. And we finished shooting in 2002, and then we finished the editorial in 2007. And then I just recently, in the last 18 months, went back and did a little cleanup and added a few things we ran out of time to do. Even as an independent, you do run out of time.
Right. No, for sure. All your characters have gotten, you know, older.
Yes.
The buildings you were shooting in are gone.
Yes.
Everything.
New York is no longer here.
Exactly. Tell me when the idea of starting your own film festival, how... I don't want to say arrogant, but I mean, my goodness, that is such an enormous undertaking. Describe the sort of the origin story there. I mean, that's...
The origin story.
Behind the Queens, formerly known as the Queens International.
Well,
that's a story in of itself.
Yes, it's not really formally known as Queens International. Queens International died a horrible death in 2009 when Marie Castaldo, who was the festival person, basically collapsed this event she'd been creating for a number of years. Little to our knowledge, there was a great deal of fraud going on with it. We weren't that close to her. Kath and I, were focused with the youth initiative portion of it, which was working in the schools in a push-in program, teaching kids to make films, of which were then screened at the film festival.
Right.
Well, when it collapsed, it was a shock to all of us, the community especially, and to us most definitely, because we, in the last year of the film festival, we put up nearly $5,000, which we never got back. Now, some people did take her to task, Marie, Rooftop Films being the key leader in that.
She ended up renting a lot of equipment from them.
Yes.
And then never made good on that.
And there were a number of those, about $15,000 worth of vendors who had contracts.
Right.
So she made reparation, and they threw out of the country. So
there's and you're more than aware of the documentary that's that Dan Nuxall is.
Yes,
Dan
and Kath Nuxall and I are part of that.
And Martha Shane. Oh, very good.
Yes. So anyway, out of that,
yes,
we decided there's a void in the borough for a festival. I mean, she did have something that was building and growing. It was year 6 or 7, and just getting to that point near year 10 where you start to gather a little juice. And we thought, that what can some honest people try and do if this is what she did, relatively dishonest?
But not only were you, Don, not only were you tasking yourself with the with this goal of launching your own festival,
yes,
and repairing in addition to it, you had to undo some of the damage.
Absolutely.
That she had done with her, with the reputation.
Correct.
Of that.
And so we were immediately, I'm sure, associated with it. And we just had to launch into it and simply say, tell people the truth.
Right.
And we had to realize, well, this is a community building experience. And we reached out to Danny Drom, who is our city councilman. Mm-hmm. And he met with us. We explained to him what had happened. He checked us out and was our first person who came forward and supported us. So that gave us at least one leg up going forward. Mm-hmm. And we just continued to build on that. We realized we couldn't do anything in 2010. We had to let it pass because the old dates was in November. Mm-hmm. And so what we did was we did a youth initiative festival in November at the Kaufman Astoria Studios, mm-hmm. and screened all of the works that had been done by the kids and called Laid It to Rest. And Danny was there and presented the evening. From that forward, we chose March, so our first festival.
A year from that March later.
Right. That's right.
And now you are, this coming March of 2013.
Just around the corner.
This is now your third festival. This is Adam Shartoff, host of FilmWax Radio, the independent film talk show, Wednesday nights, 6:30 to 7:30 on bboxradio.com. We're speaking with Don Cato, who is the programmer and half the directorial team behind the Queens World Film Festival, which will be having its season from March 5th through the 10th.
Correct.
Only weeks away.
It seems like it's been weeks away for months.
If you go to queensworldfilmfestival.com, you can see the lineup that's currently posted of the entire season, features, shorts, and other events, I assume.
Yes, we do have a couple other events. Yes.
Through those days, the venues, which you're doing, I remember last year, you had your opening night at the museum you mentioned before, the Museum of the Moving Image.
Correct.
Is that the situation again this year?
Yes, it is.
So that's a lovely place to
see. Oh,
it's
an incredible place.
Yeah. So you may want to check that out. You're showing blocks of shorts again?
And yes, we are.
As has become a tradition?
It is.
And then a number of other venues, I would say, in that part of Western Queens,
yes.
Which would include neighborhoods like Long Island City, where Momia is located, as well as Jackson Heights, where you guys live.
Well, we have one venue in Jackson Heights, one in Elmhurst.
Elmhurst.
Which is the Jackson Triplex.
Oh, I didn't know
which is actually in Elmhurst.
Uh-huh. When I was growing up, by the way, in Queens, there was a place called the Elmhurst Theater, which is now a mosque or something. I just pass it on the boulevard. I'm not
correct.
Sure.
Correct.
But anyway, sorry to sidetrack.
That's okay. but the Long Island City, it's in the Secret Theater.
It's called the Secret Theater?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's easy to get to. It's just...
You got the Jackson Heights Cinema.
Yes.
And the Museum of the Moving Image. The Secret Theater. Okay,
I see now.
4402 23rd Street in Long Island City.
Yes.
Okay. I have not been there. I'm very excited and interested to find and to visit the theaters and see what kind of setup they have. The Renaissance Charter School, I know you're returning to that.
Yes.
You were there last year as well. And PS 69 in Jackson Heights.
Yeah, PS 69 will be a specific screening for the youth films this year, and it'll be a specific event just for the kids at the school as opposed to being part of the closing night award ceremony.
How do the kids make their films? What are they doing? I mean, how do they get the equipment? Who's behind that?
Well, that's, again, that's primarily myself. Katha does the organization part.
Do you have to fundraise to get them equipment? Or
No, we use my equipment and some of, well, wherever we can cobble it together.
Yeah, sure.
And we push into, in this particular case, PS69 fifth graders. Mm-hmm. And they usually develop a theme, which is part of whatever they're doing in social studies or history or whatever, science. It's whatever they choose.
Yeah.
They pick topics, and then I come in, and I usually pick three other filmmakers who go in there, and then we help them take their idea and put it in some sort of visual format. Mm-hmm. And it takes... this particular year's theme was what happens in the year 2020. When you guys are graduating from high school.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, my favorite is one of my favorites is The Wizards, and I don't understand what wizards have to do with 2020, but it's a delightful piece.
We'll find out.
You will find out.
Yeah, it's not us to imagine the future, it's theirs.
That's ours, that's
right. You've given them that goal. And well, I think it's great what you guys do with the kids. And I've been wanting to, since I started FilmWax, to work with a program like that, to work with kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's a school in the Bronx, I believe, if it's still operating, I assume it is, which is a high school just dedicated to filmmaking.
I believe, yes, that's true.
And I know that they do probably year-end presentations of their mm-hmm. films, but I was always interested in sort of inviting them and doing maybe the best of, you know, mm-hmm. trying to work out something like that. It just appeals to me to get kids involved. Because at that point, they're not only are they not worried or concerned with these more tactical approaches to anything, because they don't have to kind of think about money, they don't have to, right. in terms of making money, commercially motivated or anything like that. So you get the most sort of pure form of storytelling in some aspects.
You do, and you just have to give them a little help.
Right.
And that's it. My favorite still is, well, we're going to have them teleport. And
yeah.
I'll say, well,
yeah.
then how do we do that?
Yeah.
Well, you just teleport them.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So once you help them figure out that, well, you don't just teleport, we have to figure out what to point the camera at to have them teleport.
Yeah. Teleporting, I imagine, and superpowers and are
yes.
just a running theme, I'm going to guess.
They are.
The fifth graders.
Yes.
I have a third grader, so I kind of know that.
Yeah, they love it.
Yeah. My kid just wants to make YouTube videos. So maybe he just wants to do mini Lego mm-hmm. YouTube videos.
That's,
you know?
That's good.
Again, the Queens World Film Festival is going to be from March 5th through the 10th.
Yes.
Opening night is at the Museum of the Moving Image.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any guests coming that
Well, this year we're going to honor Jimmy Van Bremmer, councilman from the... I'm not sure what exact district it is, but mm-hmm. it's Astoria, Long Island City.
Uh-huh.
And he's been very, I think he's the chairman of the cultural committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he's very much involved in the arts in the city as a whole, Queens in particular.
Right. Sure.
So we're going to honor him. We liked the Spirit of Queens Award, we call it. And it's for his service, mm-hmm. appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to honor, we call him a civilian on one hand. And our other person we're trying to honor this year is Karen Black.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that's what we said. Oh, my goodness. It's about time.
Is she from Queens? Or?
No, she's not.
Okay. Went into the choice of Karen Black.
Well, Karen Black, of course, was in my first film.
Oh.
With Katha, was also in my first film.
Mm-hmm.
She has done an awful lot for independent filmmakers.
It's very true.
She has, I think, well over 100 films. I'm sure she's maybe even over 125 films.
Mm-hmm.
She works with first-time directors all the time. She loves to work, and she's 100% present at each and every film. We also happen to have her latest completed film in the festival called Vacation Land, which I think was screened, I think, by FilmWax, although I don't remember for
Not
certain.
Not Vacation Land, no.
Wasn't it?
No.
Seemed like, anyway.
I will do it. I mean.
Anyway, he's from Brooklyn, the filmmaker.
Oh, okay.
And she's in it, and it's a quite nice piece. Of course, that's why we're screening it. And we were thinking it's about time someone did this, give something, a special honor to her.
Yeah.
Because she gives young filmmakers an incredible chance to work with a very seasoned professional actress.
Yeah, I know, and I understand. And she doesn't suffer fools. I mean, also,
no.
She doesn't like to have that kind of... you know, ego on the set. I don't know where I heard that, but
no, she's always prepared, a real professional.
The director of Vacation Land is Jamie Hook.
Yes.
Okay. No, I don't know that film, but I do remember seeing the title. Yeah.
It's a very clever film. Very well done.
I would love to see it.
Family reunion.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
I've been a couple of those.
It's one of those.
Yeah. Any other films that you can think off the top of your head? Not to suggest that you're choosing favorites or anything.
No.
But just some that might come to mind, whether they're local filmmakers or...
Well, just as a note here, I have...
yeah, please.
We have 20 films from Queens filmmakers, 7 from Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
and 8 from New York City, the other boroughs.
There are other boroughs?
I think.
Of course, Staten Island. Yeah.
Yes, Staten Island.
I can't remember the others.
Yes, one's called the Bronx.
Okay. Enough. We don't need to cover every borough. I'm sure there's
really
others. But,
yeah. Come on. Well, other films, they're all good.
I
the
imagine.
Ones we
That's
have,
why you chose
hard.
Them. You didn't
yes.
choose bad ones.
No,
and
we did
that
not.
That goes into good programming.
That's right. They're in blocks, and the blocks, of course, are thematically linked.
right,
sort of a theme that goes on in the block. The title pretty much suggests what's going on.
That's a good jumping off point, actually. I would like to ask you what goes into the choosing and what do you keep in mind, and how many, like, for instance, films were submitted this year, if you can recall?
Well, it's pretty close to 200.
That's not unwieldy at all.
For a third-year film festival, I think that's pretty good. We're going to screen 102. The majority of those are shorts.
Yes.
I think there's 55 shorts. But there's also more features than we've ever had before. And the features are actually all quite good. We have an amazing piece from Argentina called Yomo, which I'd recommend. It's a late-night show. We have one from Astoria, which is sort of a twisted take, or let's say an expanded idea of a David Lynch idea, called Welcome to Nowhere, which has images I have never seen. And I've seen some pretty interesting images in my time.
Yeah.
And I find it to be quite unique. We've also got a series of films from Spain, all of which are just fascinating. Everything you can imagine in terms of the human condition. And a couple that'll actually, I think, peel the hair off your head. They're really well done.
Yeah.
So that's what we have. We have a film... one of the shorts we have from I believe it's Romania, also played at Berlin. Mm-hmm. It's quite good, called The Silent River. We have a feature from Germany called Heavy Girls.
Okay.
Beautiful film. Totally surprised me. Funny, delightful.
One of the features I've noticed, which I appreciate given my own history, and although I lived in Manhattan many years, actually most of my adulthood, is BQE. So I just like that there's a film in the series called BQE, because it bridges the two boroughs that were...
Well, that's really, and it's a unique film. It's made by a local filmmaker who literally lives down the street from us in Jackson Heights.
Okay, Adrian Manzano.
Yes, and he's been working on this for a number of years after taking what he said is many years off not doing much of anything, other than living whatever he did in between. It's in black and white. It's made with one of these Go cameras, like GoPro cameras. And there's I would have to say it's a very good story. And there's dancing in it. There's good dancing. Flamenco. And the music is quite unique.
I bet.
And overall, it's a very good experience.
Yeah.
We've got one show that's already sold out, and we've had to add a second screening.
Is that true?
That's true.
Which one?
It's called F*** New York.
Yeah.
So we've added a second screen.
Okay, so F*K New York.
New York.
Well, I will check it out. Again, if you want to know the answer to that, you'll have to come see the film. Programmed a second screening because, I guess, a hint to filmmakers, if you put the word fuck in your title somewhere, you might sell out your screening.
Good piece.
Yeah. I'm always fun to see somebody that I know well, and in this year I noticed a documentary by Heather Freudenthal, No Regrets.
No Regrets.
A film called No Regrets But.
Ah.
Ellipse. I mean, there's no ellipse in them. You wanted to mention one of the industry panels that are noteworthy.
Yes, it's a conversation with Sandra Schulberg and Mark Jacobson. Sandra teaches, among other things, at the Columbia Graduate School. And she's currently touring with her film she's just completed called Nuremberg, which is a film that she's put back together from the footage that her father shot during the Nuremberg trials. And he worked, of course, for John Ford, and that's who he did it for. The film was banned in 1948 because it shed some positive light on the Russians, and she's now touring the world with it.
Yeah. Timing is so important.
Oh, timing
is everything.
If you're
going to get behind the Russians, you have to do it. You only have short windows of time.
Very short.
Because you know they're going to screw up again. In some sort of geopolitical way or other.
Those silly Russians.
her dad wrote
He photographed
on the waterfront?
It.
But he also wrote on the waterfront?
Uncle.
Her uncle.
Her uncle, Bud Schulberg.
Oh, Bud, of course.
Uncle Bud.
Uh-huh.
Did on the waterfront.
Oh, okay, very good. And this industry panel, again, is going to be at the Renaissance Charter School.
It's free.
It's a free panel.
And there's usually food.
Well, I'm there.
And Mark Jacobson.
10 o'clock on March 9th.
Yeah, Mark Jacobson is the other panel person. He's one of New York City's super attorneys. I think it's the fifth or even sixth year in a row he's been elected to that, in entertainment attorney.
Oh, so you can be elected as a super attorney?
Well, your peers choose you.
Oh, I see. I didn't. I'm not aware of this.
Okay. And he is one of them.
Okay.
And he's an incredibly good guy.
No doubt.
And very knowledgeable.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And will Lloyd Kaufman be back?
Lloyd, we never know what Lloyd's going to do.
Okay. We hope to see him.
Well, we always enjoy seeing Lloyd, believe me. So that's
thanks
it.
Thanks to you, he was on my show.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he came in and did the show.
Isn't he delightful?
Better than that.
Oh.
He gave 110% on that
show.
Oh,
that's him.
Yeah.
He's one of the few people who can go over 100%.
He can.
In both life that's and right. his movies.
Should we just do a show with him and Katha?
Oh.
And just get out of the room. And
just leave.
Yeah. You don't want to be in the room.
No.
You can hear the show afterwards, but
that's
get
right.
out of the room
just
for God.
Let it go.
By the way, when we archive the show, we'll put up all this information about how to find the Queen's World Film Festival, all the details of various films that'll be screening in the series this March. And I urge you to check out the full roster of films, both features and shorts, of which there is an abundance, again, at queensworldfilmfestival.com. And come on out. It's a lot of fun. You guys do a really great job. I have to say, I was so, you know, having never been to a Queens World Film Festival before.
You've been to Queens, though.
I have been to Queens.
Good.
But I I didn't know what to expect tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly that you were launching the opening night evening was at the Museum of the Moving Image is a good indication that you guys meant business. But anyone would be impressed and have a great time.
Well, I must
check it out. So, it's a great festival.
Well, I would like to thank our sponsors. May I do that?
You may.
Amalgamated Bank has been our founding sponsor. They've been with us all the way. This year, we've added Kaufman Astoria Studios, who are going to be helping us making sure the projection equipment, rooftop, and the projectionists are paid.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Queens Council on the Arts, who have been absolutely fantastic. And also TD Bank came in at the very end with a little something to help us out. And Manhattan Portage, who's given us
that's
bags.
That's the borough we were trying to think of.
Yes, Manhattan. Manhattan Portage has given us bags, the official bag of the festival. And the
official bag.
Official
I didn't know a festival had to have an official bag.
Well, we do.
You have to put things in the bag and
things
give it to
will be
people?
In the bag, and these will be given away to the filmmakers.
Oh, right, of course. A little swag for that.
A little swag.
It goes a long way. Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Very kindly. And you and Katha are always welcome. Please come back and...
Love to.
Alrighty.
This has been fun.
Yeah, no.
Just like radio.
Only better.
Only better. Thank you.
So long.